Dennis Prager, my dog, my home, my fireplace. This is the Fireside Chat. How many have we done thus far?
Over 130.
Over 130. Mm-hmm. That's almost 3 years, every week. The beauty of this is it's completely non-scripted. I just get a chance to share some thoughts with you. And Otto, my trusty bulldog here, is a good guy. We were going to put a face mask on him, but I think he would reject it, pretty much like me. I'm not a big fan of these. With strangers in very confined spaces, I understand it. But outside, when you're walking your dog, where I broadcast from in Glendale, California, they made an announcement. They called you up, and I played it on my radio show a number of times, that you have to wear it at all times, including outside when you walk your pet. I love that, walk your pet. They don't want to discriminate unless they say walk your dog, which 99% of people who walk an animal are walking, but they don't want to be accused of catophobia. Or any other bigotry against any other animal species. That's absurd. I can't stand the absurd. I won't be controlled by the absurd, and I would prefer a fine to giving in to the absurd. I do walk regularly now, and I'm not within a quarter of a mile of other human beings because nobody's outside. I mean, it's just... But even if they were on walking up and down this block outside this house, I would not wear a mask. It's bad enough having all these laws at this time when they're not rational. I have a very bad reaction to that. I don't like having people make stupid rules. So anyway, I was only mentioning that he would reject his mask. Just like I would. All right. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat. So I always open up with a thought or two, and then I take your questions. So here's a thought. I am about to record the annual commencement address for PragerU. We give a commencement address every June. We've had some wonderful people give it, but given the circumstances, we can't bring these people in, but I will be doing it. And one of the things that I will be talking about is the act of becoming an adult. And it's a great subject. What does it mean to become an adult? A lot of you watching are young people. Let me tell you something that I have been telling young people since I was young, because I started lecturing in my 20s. And it's a great point that most young people don't think about. You don't become an adult when you reach a certain age. That is the common belief of a young person. When are you adult? They say, 21. When are you really an adult? Okay, 35. Whatever it might be. It's not true. You become an adult only when you decide to become an adult. Otherwise, you remain a child till death. The number of people my age who are children is very large. And I became aware of this very early because it was disappointing to me when I would realize how many immature people of my age at any given age, when I was 25, 35, 45, it didn't matter. I couldn't believe it, grow up. And this was, I'll give you an example, interestingly. So I read a tremendous amount generally, and especially now, of every variation on the theme of the quarantine and the self-isolation. So Daily Mail out of Britain had a piece on a guy whom I never heard of, but that means nothing because he's I think he's in Hollywood, but I know he's in the media, but not the news media, entertainment media. And he's apparently quite famous because the article was about the guy. And even if I knew the name, I wouldn't say it because my intention is not to insult him. Anyway, this is what the headline was. So-and-so says, I've gone 5 weeks without sex. It is the longest since I was in high school. And he's 51. And he's not married. And I'm thinking, my point is not non-marital sex. That is not at all my point. My point is that the implication obviously was the guy, you know, is sort of a womanizer. And, you know, otherwise, if he had a girlfriend, he'd be self-isolating with her, right? So obviously, he's having regular sex with any number of women. And again, my point is not moral. My point is growing up. As a guy, I totally get it. See any of my videos on male sexual nature, read anything I've written about it. Males want variety. We are built to have variety, okay? I'm not happy about it. I'm not unhappy about it. It just is what it is. So I understand that. But I don't understand how he never grew up. You mean you're still doing what, you know, guys naturally do, you know, maybe high school, certainly college, post-college. You're 51 and you're still, colorful, screwing around at 51. It never occurred to you that you might want to grow up and commit to a woman and make a home and make a family? See, and of course, there was not even an implication in the article that this is an issue. It was just, oh my God, wow. It's gone 5 weeks. So that's an example of not being an adult. The guy's not an adult. When you're doing that at 51, you're still a kid. All right? If he was 25, I'd say no, I wouldn't say anything. It wouldn't be of interest. He's 51. Is he going to still be doing this at 61? Probably. If you don't have a commitment to growing up, you don't grow up. So, I mean, there are many, many ways and manifestations of being an adult. The most obvious is taking responsibility for your life, being responsible. In fact, I do a male-female hour on my radio show, and you can hear at least 10, maybe 20 years of my male-female hour at PragerTopia.com. It's affiliated with my radio show, and it's worth going there. Anyway, so I once asked women, said, call in. I usually have men and women call in, but I said, only women call in. What do you define as masculine? Most men could not answer. What do women find definitionally masculine? And I didn't know what they would say, to be honest. I mean, I know as a man, I meet a guy, I immediately respond to if he's masculine or not. Okay, and I like masculine men. I like strong masculine men. Strength is one of the things that I identify with masculinity. Anyway, it was fascinating to me. Virtually every woman who called in said, responsible. That's what made a man masculine. So it's just worthy of all of you knowing that, both male and female watching this. A guy who is not responsible for himself and hopefully for his partner and his family does not strike. Maybe if the, you know, she's 16-year-old girl, masculine, is a gorgeous guy from that she saw in school or in a movie. But once a woman is about 25, her understanding of masculine is very different. Anyway, all of that is an introduction to the point I want to make about growing up. One of the characteristics of being an adult is to ask a question and ask this all the time about everything. It is one of the most important questions you can ever ask. What is the price? It's a funny thing because if you buy something, that's your first question, right? What is the price? And how do you figure out if you'll buy it? Well, I'm parting with $100 or $50 or 50 cents, or it doesn't matter. I'm parting with that money, so that's the price. But I'm getting something for it. Oh, if I'm getting this, then it's worth it. So when we buy things, that's the only question we ask, other than about the product or whatever we're buying, obviously. How much does it cost? What is the price? People don't do that about anything else, and they should do it about everything. The obvious example, there is a price for anything you do. There is a price for, get back to what I was talking about earlier. There's a price for getting married. There is a price for not getting married. There's a price for having children. There's a price for not having children. There is a price for living in the city. There's a price for living in a suburb. I mean, everything, if you practice this, you will grow up. And you will also make far more intelligent decisions about your life. Is there a price to go to college? Yes. Is there a price not to go to college? Yes. So you ask in anything you do. Even trivial things. Is there a price? What is the price I pay for playing a video games for 3 hours tonight? Well, I get for the 3 hours, I get fun, but I pay the price of not developing in any way. Now, not all fun has to be development. Nonsense fun is a necessary part of life. The question is how much. So everything is a what is the price. Now, what does that have to do with the isolation and quarantining of much of the human race that is happening at this moment? People are not asking what is the price. The assumption is we're saving lives, saving a lot of lives, and that's the end of the issue for vast numbers of people. But we are, if we're grown up, which a lot of people are not, and a lot of people includes world leaders, it includes major scientists. The fact that you're a world leader doesn't mean you're a grown-up. The fact that you're a scientist doesn't mean you're a grown-up. Grown-up is a grown-up, and a scientist is a scientist, and a president or a prime minister or a king is a president or prime minister or a king. I am unimpressed when people do not juggle this exceedingly difficult moral question of what is the price. I have asked this from the beginning of the quarantine. You know, it's interesting. You know that this has never happened in the history of the world. Two things have never happened, generally speaking. One, that the world went into quarantine. And secondly, that vast numbers of healthy people went into quarantine. Quarantine was definitionally for those who were ill or were suspected of being ill. This is the first time where 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion people, most of whom are healthy, are being quarantined. As of this moment in the United States, as of this moment, as I speak to you, there are 40,000 Americans who, it is claimed, died from COVID-19. 2 years ago, somewhere between 60 and 80,000 Americans died of the flu. Nobody even knows that. Why didn't we go into quarantine then? Now, you could give a whole host of issues, but these are fair questions. The price that is being paid for this quarantine in people losing their livelihoods, their savings, the business that they have worked on their whole lives, already there's been a serious increase in psychiatric medicines that have been prescribed to people for depression and anxiety. These are prices. What is the price? Now, you may say, well, the price of non-quarantine will be X number of dead, though nobody in the world knows what that X is. Okay, that's obviously a very fair argument. That's theoretically, not theoretically, that is why there is a quarantine. But you, but a mature person, an adult, asks, well, what price are we paying? How many spouses and kids will be abused in dysfunctional homes because they're stuck together and the kid, let's say, can't go to school? By the way, you know, Sweden did not close its schools, did not close its restaurants, does not make everybody wear masks. And Sweden, if there is a second wave, Sweden may be the country that is best capable of dealing with a second wave, since they will have what is called herd immunity. Vast number of people who are simply have immunity to the disease, because they're the vast majority of people who get COVID-19 don't even know it. I wonder how many of you know that. And a tiny, tiny percentage die from it. Tiny percentage, and nearly all of them had other awful conditions like diabetes and heart failure and so on. So I have posed this question, what is the price? That's what I think mature people should ask. But the immature dismiss those people as not caring about people dying, which is particularly stupid. Since, do you know anyone who doesn't care if they die? Maybe you know someone who doesn't care if anybody else dies. I, frankly, have never met such a person. But let's say you know such a callous human being. Everybody cares if they die. So it's a little preposterous to say, oh, they don't care. What do you mean they don't care? They may die. Right? No, nobody is guaranteed not to die from it. So the people asking the questions clearly care about people dying. But they also care about people losing their dignity and losing their livelihoods and becoming wards of the state. And for that matter, dying of hunger all over the world. I was reading an article in the New York Times about a guy in Bangladesh who makes a living by supplying jeans to American companies. Man has no income in Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, if you have no income, it's not quite the same as not having an income in Western Europe or the United States or some other places. It's hard for the Bangladeshi government to take care of you. It's not a rich government. Read another article about people in Cambodia. I've been to Cambodia. Cambodia is a very sad place, because of the communist autogenocide that took place in the 1970s, when the communist regime killed about a third of all Cambodians, between a third and a half. People should all know about it, but if you went to college, you probably never learned it. I'm not sure exactly what you do learn at college, other than, at least in America, that America is a terrible place and that you're a victim if you're not a white male. That's pretty much what I think most people learn at college, sorry to say. There is a big price paid for what we're doing, and it may not be worth it. It's a very fair question to ask, but it needs to be discussed. That's what adults do. They ask, what's the price? Okie doke. Time for the video question. Ooh, one shot.
Hey there, Mr. Prager. My name is Justin Harchis. I attend Michigan State University, and I am a Prager Force member. I'm also a phlebotomist at Sparrow Hospital, and I've drawn blood on countless coronavirus patients. I had a question for you. We use hydroxychloroquine to treat patients here in Michigan with very positive effects. So I was wondering, why is it such a controversial issue for us to be using this life-saving drug? Also, I wanted to thank you for being the man, the myth, the legend, Dennis Prager.
What do you mean the myth? The myth. Thank you. That's very sweet. Good to hear from you, Justin, at Michigan State. You could not have asked a more perfect question. I have to control myself on this one because I am quite angry. So he is drawing blood at a hospital in Michigan, USA, right, with COVID-19 patients. He sees at this hospital hydroxychloroquine working magnificently with patients who have COVID-19. So why is it controversial, is his question. There are actually two answers. The biggest answer is very scary. The biggest single answer is spelled T-R-U-M-P, Trump. President Donald Trump of the United States announced at the beginning of this crisis that he has a sense that hydroxychloroquine, which has been used for about 70 years for people with rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, and which is therefore extremely safe and, of course, approved, not approved specifically, obviously, couldn't be, it's brand new disease, COVID-19. But it's a safe product. Every product has some bad side effects. Aspirin could kill you. But we don't talk about the possible rare side effect. It's very safe. I had a man on my radio show. He's an MD in New York, the epicenter of the disease in the United States. He has treated 1,450 COVID-19 patients. He has given 405 patients. The other 1,000 did not need it. They were doing better. He gave 405 hydroxychloroquine and 403 were healed. 2 died. That's pretty good. Those people already were clearly sick because he would have given it to everybody, theoretically. He was so angry. I'll tell you his name, Vladimir Zelenko. Look him up. And he's an MD in New York City, and he sends certain patients to Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. And Dr. Zelenko was furious at the opposition to hydroxychloroquine. And he said, he gave 4 reasons. I asked him the question you just asked me. He gave 4 reasons, but the 2 that I found most persuasive are Trump and arrogance. I'll come to the arrogance in a moment. First, back to Trump. There is a hatred of Donald Trump that is so spectacularly irrational that millions of people, I believe this, and this is proof, millions of people are rooting for hydroxychloroquine not to work. In other words, it is better that people die than Donald Trump be right. That is how deep the hatred of Donald Trump is. It is sick. The people who have it think they're healthy and they think they're moral. It is sick. You can oppose him. You can vote for the other party. You can vote for his opponent. You can work against him. But to hate him to that extent is sick. It is morally sick and psychologically sick. And this is the smoking gun. Had this been touted by Dr. Fauci, or had this been touted by Barack Obama, or any Democrat for that matter, people would have been going crazy to find that it works. That's how much he is hated. The other is arrogance. What is the arrogance? The arrogance is, and this was a doctor talking, this belief that unless we have clinical trials, We can't say something works. Why is that? This is the mentality that you're given in universities. The you cannot use common sense. You can only look at studies and be told what to think. Studies are important. I don't knock studies. But is that the only way in which to assess life? He gave a great example, Dr. Zelenko. He said, let's say we were fighting in a war and Washington, D.C. is being bombed. Would we say somebody came up with an anti-aircraft missile that seemed to be quite effective? Would people say, you know, we haven't tested it out? Or would they use it? Because there's no time to figure out, does it work under normal formal testing, right? Would you give a loved one hydroxychloroquine if they were showing symptoms of COVID-19? I would. If you wouldn't, why not? Because it hasn't been absolutely established. By the way, there was just a brand new test which the doctor sent me, published in a Brazilian scientific journal. Not the silly Brazilian test of before that. Don't confuse them, where they used such high dosages it hurt people. They should never have used such high dosages. So yes, my friend in Michigan at Sparrow Hospital. That is the crisis of America in a nutshell. Better that people die than Donald Trump be right. What's our timing?
27.
Wow. Oh, it's so sad. Time flies. Okay, let's see here. Gustavo, 39, in Brazil. Perfect. I tell you, it's like divine. Hi, Otto. Very funny. That was funny, Gustavo. Hi, Otto. I am now Otto's sidekick. It's getting really serious. There was a time when planes flew when people were in airports, and I would go through airports and people would go, hey, say hi to Otto. Wasn't even hello. Nice to meet you, Dennis Prager. Say hi to Otto. Okay. Otto, please give Dennis a rub. He is so cute. Otto's out of it. But he would if he could. Mr. Prager, I'm a longtime fan of PragerU videos. Obrigado. Recently, I discovered your fireside chats, and they are already number one in my podcast list. Thank you. In this lockdown time, it worries me to see good and smart people supporting totalitarian actions from the government. At first, I thought it was tunnel vision, people looking just to the virus. Unfortunately, I think it is a deeper problem. Lack of courage and fear is a bad advisor. Do you agree? If you do agree, do you think a secular culture may be the root of this problem? Best regards. Yes, 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 and yes. That's all I could say. Courage is the rarest of the good traits. I've been saying this all of my life. That is correct. I have a question on the virus issue. If the epicenter in the United States is New York, do you know that in the New York metropolitan area, 52% of the deaths in the United States to this virus are all in the New York area, the New York metropolitan area? It's a term for the greater New York area. 52%. What was the last number? Was something over 10,000 deaths. Wyoming has, I don't know, two deaths, I think. Something like that. Why should people in Wyoming be thrown out of work, lose all their income, have their business shattered, because New Yorkers are suffering so terribly from the disease? No one has a legitimate answer. No one. It is utterly, it's not only irrational, I think it's evil. And I'll tell you this, it's the subject of my column this week. You should take a look. If things were reversed, if over half the deaths of the United States were confined to Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and so on, I'm not, and there were a few hundred deaths in New York, I'm not sure New York would have closed down. It's an interesting question to think about. Yes, what governments are doing, I don't know where they get the rights to. I'll end with this depressing question. If a government in the United States, let's say, I'll just use my example, in America, we have a constitution. I don't know why it's constitutional to tell people they have to stay in their house. I don't know. Maybe it is. It's an interesting question that government has such, as he put it, totalitarian authority to tell you that you cannot go to work. You cannot leave your house or what have you. So that's a frightening thing. But here's the frightening part. Once it happens, once there's a precedent, the word tells you what goes going to happen. It precedes it happening again. And I would not be surprised if in the United States, with a Democratic president, Democratic Congress, if that should happen, that they would say, hey, you think COVID-19 was dangerous. That's nothing. It did not threaten humanity's existence. Global warming, climate change does threaten humanity's existence. So if we could lock you down or tell you what you can do or not do, or drive or not drive, or buy and not buy for COVID-19, how much more so can we do it for the, quote, existential, unquote, threat of climate change? I do not see what leg any of us would have to argue against it. If it was done for COVID-19, why can't it be done for climate change? That's why never, ever, ever take liberty for granted. Liberty is not the human instinct, as I have said for decades. Liberty is a value, not a yearning. People yearn to be led. People yearn to be taken care of. They do not yearn to be free. A handful of people yearn to be free. Most do not. That is one miserable way to end this broadcast. I fully acknowledge that. And if I could think of a funny joke, I would tell it to you, but I don't know many jokes, and I ruin them when I tell them. Be that as it may, it's worth thinking about all this stuff. What does it mean to be an adult? Just to review and always asking, what is the price? Great to be with you. I'm Dennis Prager. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.